In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the great difficulties of this world is preparing for death. As we enter into this new year, as we come and continue and celebrate the season of Christmas, we are often reminded the reason Christ comes to earth. What is the purpose of this visitation of our God? What is the purpose of this incarnation but to go to the cross? But our own death is one that we must prepare for. Our own death, the death of a loved one, the death of a father, of a mother, a friend, a husband, a wife, or even sometimes the death of a child. These things we must grapple with. We are never quite ready. No matter how prepared we are, it always seems to come out of the blue to catch us unaware. No matter how much time we have to prepare for it, death finds a way to surprise us. And we are forced to contend with our own mortality even in this season of Christmas. Even as we begin this new year, it is good that we would prepare for our death. For if we do not, we will be plagued with the questions of, have we done enough? Have I done enough to warrant heaven? Am I prepared? The gospel reading we just heard, it tells us of Christ's presentation in the temple. It speaks of the moment of the fulfillment of the temple's purpose, to house the living God. Until this point, the temple had been the place where God had visited and been with his people. When the temple was built, his glory filled it, and the Holy of Holies was filled with the glory cloud, the same cloud that led the people of Israel through the wilderness. And by these things, Christ dwelt with his people. But now, in this unassuming child, carried by his mother, the Virgin Mary, protected by Joseph, he visits his people in the flesh. He comes to the place where countless men and women have come to offer sacrifices, to remind themselves of their own death, and to see in these things a shadow of the greater sacrifice that is to come. Christ, our Lord in the flesh, comes to the place where countless men and women have come to worship and pray to him, to call out to him amidst their afflictions, and to find hope and peace and comfort in him. Here, countless men and women came awaiting the Messiah, anxiously waiting for the one who would deliver them from their sin, waiting for the strong man to lift the heavy load of the law off of their shoulders. Here he is, an infant child, and yet the strongest of all. Here he is, a helpless babe, and the helper and consolation of nations. And in this place, in this temple, we are met by a faithful man by the name of Simeon. And this man was given this very peculiar promise, and we do not know why or when, but he was promised that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the consolation of Israel. And in the spirit, he was brought to the temple that day to see his salvation, to see the salvation of mankind. He was brought to the temple to be given salvation itself, to hold salvation in his arms. For salvation is not some esoteric concept. It is not something floating out there in the ether, a nice mind thing to think about. It is a person. It is flesh and blood, and it is the child who was brought in the spirit to the temple by his mother and his father to do what the law required. It is this child who was brought so the law might be fulfilled, so that the promises of God might be bestowed upon his people. Salvation is Christ. It is God made flesh. It is man and God in unity forever. And upon seeing this child, Saint Simeon sets aside his human reason. He sets aside all of his senses, which tell him this child cannot be something great. It is lowly and meek. It is the child of a poor woman and an insignificant man. And in faith, he clings to the word of God. He has no doubt that this is the Lord's salvation. This is the Christ. And so he takes him up in his arms, and he lifts up the hope of all mankind and bursts into song, proclaiming, like the angels before him, "Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. My own eyes have seen your salvation." I can die. I am prepared for death, for I have beheld Christ. Knowing who Christ is, seeing Christ in his temple, gives Simeon the hope and the peace needed to fear death. So for Simeon, certainly, salvation was not some concept to be grappled with the mind. He confesses and acts rightly, for Simeon, it is a person. He has Christ, so he has life. He has Christ, so he has peace. He has Christ, so he can die. What can the world do to him? What can death do to him? The Lord's promise is fulfilled in this insignificant, meek child. And of course, Simeon knows this child will go on to suffer and die, and even prophesies it. He knows he will be betrayed and handed over to men who will mock, scorn, and crucify him. He knows this child will willingly give up his life to pay the price of Simeon's sins. He knows that this child is the very Lamb of God, come into the temple to be prepared for sacrifice. He knows that this blood of this infant child that he holds in his arms will be poured out upon this altar of the cross to save the world from their sin. And because of this, he has peace. Because of the blood of this child, this infant lamb poured out, he is prepared for death. And so we see that preparing for death is not something we do. Being prepared for death is not a matter of getting all of your arrangements set out. It's not a matter of having a tombstone and a will and everything set up and ready for the next generation. Being prepared for death is something Christ does to you. And praise be to God that it is not up to us. For there are many men and women by their own strength and power who desire to be prepared for death. And when the day of their death comes upon them, they find themselves grappling with those same questions. Have I done enough? Does God really love me? Where is my hope and assurance? Am I really prepared? We must say, if we turn to our own understanding and strength, no, I have not done enough. I have not earned my salvation. I have earned nothing but eternal wrath and condemnation. But there is one who has. My salvation has come. It has been given to me. And this is the great joy of Christmas, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he willingly places himself under the law, fulfilling the law of Moses by being redeemed and bought and living according to it, by doing enough so you might do nothing. For this great truth, the Church sets aside 12 days to ponder all these things in our hearts, just as the Virgin Mary did on the night when the shepherds come and tell of all the things that happened to them. We take our cues from the Holy Family, from Mary and Joseph, who upon hearing the proclamation of Simeon, do not say, "We know," but they marvel. They marvel at these words. Mary and Joseph disregarded, like St. Simeon, the outward appearance of Christ. And they clung to the Word of God. And when the Word of God was preached, they heard it willingly and joyfully. The child in the temple held no esteem in the eyes of the world. It held no esteem according to human reason. There were countless men and women there who went about bustling with their own tasks, offering their own sacrifices, praying their own prayers, and missing the whole point of the temple that was in front of them. But the faithful cling to the Word of God, cling to Christ. Like Saint Anna, the faithful speak to anyone who would hear about Christ. They cling to the Word firm in faith. And thus we, like Mary and Joseph, like Anna and Simeon, must also disregard all of our own senses and our own reason as we contemplate the works of God. We want something great and mighty, but we are given a child, helpless and meek. We want some great victory, but we are given the cross. And it is scandalous to the world and a stumbling block to those who place their own reason first. We must cling only to the sure promises of God, to the Word, to the Word made flesh. The promises of which Simeon sings are not just for Simeon. They are for you as well. You, like St. Simeon, can sing, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." And we do, right after we come to the rail and receive the very body and blood of our Lord. For you are given something even greater than St. Simeon. Simeon was given to behold with his own eyes the very body and blood made flesh. You are given to taste it, to commune with it, to become one with Christ as he gives himself for you, as he pours out his body, as he offers up his blood as a propitiation for your sins. You must set aside your reason and your senses as you come to this altar, for your reason and your senses will tell you it is nothing but mere bread and mere wine. And if that is all that it is, then we have no purpose in being here. But God's sure word tells us it is his very body, it is his very blood. And we participate with the very life of Christ. We participate with this very real body of salvation. We are enjoined to it. It is given to us, and we are made one with it. Christ does not come to save but a few. He comes to offer his life for all, to extend to all the promise of salvation, an assurance of eternal life, to prepare all mankind for death by transforming death into a portal to life. What can death do to you? You have seen and tasted salvation. You have seen and tasted and been enjoined to life itself. Death cannot harm you. You have come into his temple. You have come into the temple of the Lord of life. You have come into this sanctuary, and you have received life eternal and the assurance of God's mercy and grace. You have received the peace of the Lord that he alone can give, the assurance that he alone offers. You have received life, salvation itself. So now we sing with St. Simeon, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. As this new year begins, we are prepared and made ready for anything that the world may throw at us, even death. For here at this rail, we receive salvation. Here at this railing, the Lord gives to us once again all that we need for this year of grace. For those who have Christ, those who cling to him have no need to fear, no need to worry, for we know what lies ahead. We know in our own flesh we will see Christ. We will dwell with him forever in eternal peace. And that eternal peace begins now. It begins here as we receive salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.